So, did you ever have to wear corrective shoes? I did. They were absolutely hideous. They were these blue things that were just hard as steel. And, like with these wooden bottoms, and these real high arches inside, and they like forced your feet into submission. These big goofy laces. And of course I was the only one in my class who had to wear these. And not only were they incredibly nerdy, but they came from an incredibly nerdy place. If you're familiar with Oak Cliff, there's a little shop, well, not a little, it's like one of the main old shopping centers called Wynwood Village. And it's where you go to get everything. It had Jan's Bakery and all these wonderful shops that we would go to all the time. But one of the places there was Red Wing Shoe Store. Was it Red Wing? I think it was Red Wing. It just had this big chicken on the counter. This big chicken, like a gumball machine, except it was a chicken. And when you get your corrective shoes, they give you a token, and you put the token in the chicken box and lights up, and I don't know if it turns around or anything. I just know it kind of clucked. Yeah, it clucked. It clucked and it laid an egg. That's right, it laid an egg. And this little gold plastic egg would come out, roll down the thing, and it always had a little surprise inside. So that was like my little consolation prize for having to get orthopedic footwear. Just one more thing to separate me from the cool kids. My foot was really, it just really defined my childhood, and I never thought twice about it when, until they pointed it out. Some of my earliest memories were going to see my orthopedic surgeon. And because I was born with like my spine kind of off and stuff like that. So when I first learned to walk, I remember I would go, I actually remember this. I remember this nice man would stand at the end of the hallway, and my mom would hold me at the other end, and then she'd put me down on the floor. He'd say, Okay, Amy, run to me. And I would run to him, and he would hold out his hands and hold out his arms, and he wanted me to run to him. And I thought he was, I thought he just wanted a big hug, and he wanted me to back up to get a really good, I don't know, I thought this man just really wanted to hug me every time. I come to find out he was watching the way I walked and watched the way I carry myself. And I was only like, gosh, not even two. And so my bones have always been under scrutiny. And I outgrew the scoliosis I was born with. I totally outgrew it. I think it was a psychological thing because they threatened me with a brace, like a back brace. They said, if you don't, your body's growing. I was like 8 or 9. They were like, okay, you need to start sitting up straight and don't slouch or else your spine is going to grow crooked and we're going to have to put you in a brace. And I had nightmares about that, so somehow I outgrew that. So when it came time, when I got the news that I had to have surgery on my foot, it took a while for that reality to sink in. I thought, truly, I can find a way to avoid this. The main concern was balance, because my big toe it was way short back then before they lengthened it, and they said when I grew up I would have balance problems. And the toes on that foot, because the big toe wasn't there to keep everything straight, the other toes just kind of curled over, just kind of curled towards the, you know, whatever. So in my mind, I thought the curly toes were the problem. The way they explained it to me, I thought that, in my mind, I thought the fact that I had curly toes was the problem, not the fact that my toe was short. So when I was like 8 years old, 8 or 9, my mom broke the news to me that I was going to have some surgery and to make my toe longer. And I thought it was an attempt to fix my curly toes, and so I decided to straighten my own toes. And so each night, and of course I didn't tell anybody this, each night before going to bed, I would take a handful of rubber bands and wrap them tightly around my toes, cutting off the circulation. You know, they were like blue on top. But I did those rubber bands so tightly that they were straight, and I went to sleep like that, and in the morning took it off before going to school. I thought that over time that would straighten my toes and I wouldn't have to have this surgery, but it didn't work. So I had to have the surgery anyway. The first one, they went in and scraped bone out of my calf and stuck it in the toe, and then to lengthen it. And then the second surgery, they put metal pins in my foot and in my toe and did all this lengthening stuff. And it worked. I still don't have a knuckle. I still can't bend it, but it did make it a little bit longer. And, of course, I'd have to go to school with this open toe cast with these little metal Frankenstein pins sticking out. And that's how it all started. See, if it wasn't for those surgeries, I never would have been discovered. My foot, if it wasn't for the surgeries. See, it all goes back to the medical community. It's a love-hate thing. If it were not for those open toe casts, those girls never would have seen my foot and called me names on the playground. And, you know, I would have been a normal kid and I would have played sports with them outside at recess. But instead, I became a complete introvert and looked forward to the rainy days where we didn't have to go outside to play. I just don't grasp sport. I'm not competitive in that way. And, like, I remember we had to play flag football. To this day, I do not understand that. I don't even understand the rules of real football. Seriously. I mean, all I see is a bunch of math. I see a bunch of numbers and lines, and I'm like, what diabolical creep combined playing with a ball with math? You know, you just have to go and ruin it like that with math. So, with flag football, we had to play this, right? Like for PE. And I just remember it was just this frenzy, this blurry frenzy of children running around with a red rag sticking out of their pocket. And I never had any clue as to what team I was on or what I was supposed to be doing, so I just ran around and blindly reached for people's rags or flags, you know. And always the whistle was being blown on me, constantly. Amy, no, and Amy, and I'd get yelled at. And Then we went through this softball phase at school where we had to play softball every day in PE, and it was humiliating. It was truly humiliating. When it was my turn to get up to bat, the girls, the same girls who made fun of my foot, would say, they would yawn, they would play like they were yawning, they were like, oh great, Amy's up at bat, we're going to be here all day. You know, it just, you just get a complex. You know, when you get this kind of ridicule, you really do develop a complex, and it never went away. This carried over, this whole athletic performance thing, I never could keep up with. Even in junior high, when we, you know, I left Oak Cliff and moved to DeSoto, and in junior high PE, we had to play basketball, and I never understood the rules to basketball either. You know, if it's basic, like soccer, you know, I can get it. Like, okay, there's a goal on this side, and there's a goal on this side, and you gotta worm your way through this wall of people to somehow get the ball in that goal. I can, you know, I can manage that. And so, basketball I can sort of do if that's all I have to think about. Just keep the ball bouncing, keep pushing your way through, and throw it at the hoop. And so I can sort of do it, but it's sort of like football. There's a little bit of math involved and lines you're supposed to stay in and stuff. And I just got to where, to avoid the whistle being blown on me, I quit trying to do things, and I would just hop around, just blindly hop around in the frenzy. Just hop around and act like I'm concerned about the ball and the people around me. And that's how I finally learned how to survive athletic stuff in PE. Because you're getting graded on this stuff. I finally learned, don't do anything. Just hop around, stay active, shout if you need to, and it'll be over before you know it. It all ties, I'm telling you know what, that's another thing. I would be more athletic if it wasn't for my foot. See, it all ties together. It all goes back to my little toe. And I started to get sort of vindictive in my thinking. Like, I remember having a little bit of anger in the hospital room after my first surgery. It was like 8 and a half or something, I don't know, and I'm laying there. And I'm laying there looking at my foot, and it was a beautiful summer day outside, and I'm in there. And I remember deciding, I remember thinking I need to do something to get back at the world. And all I could think to do was, they had just brought me my lunch. It was a hamburger. And I looked down at my hamburger. I remember sitting in that bed, sitting up in that bed, my foot in a cast, thinking I've got to get back at the world. And I looked down at my hamburger. And picked it up and hobbled out of bed, and I put it in the bottom drawer of the, you know, in hospital rooms you have little built-in dressers kind of built into the wall. I opened the bottom drawer and placed my hamburger in at the very back and closed the drawer, thinking that'll show them, because it's gonna stink, nobody's gonna look there. And in a week or two, it's really gonna stink in here, and they're not gonna know why. It's because I was here. So I did that. Yeah, I'm just, the whole athletic thing is, it just turned into such a complex. It's like this club I never could be a part of. And so I started to look up to the girls in the class who were athletic. I started to look up to them and really admire them, because in my mind they had something I didn't. And I wanted to be like them. And this one girl named Leslie, she was like the most athletic girl ever. And she won all the races and won it, you know, any. She's like the Midas touch. I mean, no matter what we were playing, she won. And I thought she was just a queen. And I really wanted to be her friend. And I worked it. This is like in the third or fourth grade. I really worked it. I was like, I'm going to be friends with Leslie, and I'm going to be cool and athletic. And so I got to be friends with her, and I invited her over to my house one day. She's over at my house one day. I mean, this was like a major accomplishment for me. And I'm thinking, okay, I am really going to blow her away. I'm really going to impress her. And I decided we needed to climb trees. I climbed my tree in my yard, and I had it down pat, you know, perfect, up and down, scurry up and down like a little roach, really fast, and I thought that made me really awesome. So I wanted to take this to the next level, because my friend Christy had an even better tree in her yard, and I had not mastered Christy's tree yet. Like, I could get a little bit up it, but not all the way. And I decided this was the day to do it. This was the day to climb all the way up to the top of Christy's tree. And Leslie is going to be blown away, and she's going to want me to be her best friend. So I asked Leslie if she wanted to go down the street to visit my friend Christy. So we did. We walked down the street. We knocked on Christy's door. And I didn't even pretend to make small talk. I was like, Christy, we need to climb your tree. Christy put up with me because she was younger with me, so she didn't know what a nerd I was. So, okay, we make a beeline to the back, you know, and I've got my eye on that tree. And so I wasted no time. I started climbing with such determination. And I did. I made it all the way to the top. I climbed all the way to the top of that tree with them watching. Okay, so I'm hovering up there at the top, kind of looking down at the ground. I wasn't sure really how to get down, but that didn't turn out to be a problem. I didn't need to figure out how to get down, because next thing you know, I'm on the ground. I fell out of the tree, and my hand was on fire. My right hand was on fire, and I landed on my right thumb and broke it. Had to go to the hospital. Leslie had to go home. She never came to my house again. They did x-rays, set my thumb, put it in a splint. So for the next 3 or 4 months at school, I had to write with my left hand. Because I could not move my right thumb. And, you know, I couldn't look Leslie in the eye, and that was the last time I ever tried anything athletic. That was it. I was booted out that day. Yeah, it all goes back to my toe, I'm telling you.